Today's New Testament lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, and this is a lesson that is the great joy of the church, for it is a celebration that the Holy Spirit has poured out upon us so that we might be God's witnesses. It is a great nightmare for lectionary readers who have to try to pronounce all the names of the people who were there on Pentecost, so I'm going to give it my best shot. Listen and hear the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound of the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered. They're filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, they are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So this is Pentecost Sunday, which is a celebration of the Holy Spirit descending upon the church. And depending on who you are, most Methodists seem to get uncomfortable when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, especially us button-down tops and robes. But the Holy Spirit does strange things, and so I thought we would do something strange today. You guys up for that? Now, in the military, we used to do call and response stuff to keep us motivated on long runs or hikes. And I'm not saying this sermon's going to be long, but I am saying that we need some motivation in this house. So we're going to do a call and response. I'm going to call out something, and you're going to sing back to me, and it'll go something like this. Who will be a witness for my Lord? Who will be a witness for my Lord? And you're going to say, I'll be a witness for my Lord. I'll be a witness for my Lord. You think you can do that? All right, let's try. Who will be a witness for my Lord? Who will be a witness for my Lord? That was terrible. Let's do this again. It is Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is here after all. Let's act like it. So, who will be a witness for my Lord? Who will be a witness for my Lord?
I'll be a witness for my Lord.
I'll be a witness for my Lord. You pray for me and I'll pray for you. Oh, come Holy Spirit. Whatever it is that keeps us from being your witness, we want you to remove it today. If it is an old way of thinking, old habits that just keep defeating us over and over again, if it is an ideology or an idolatry that has held captive in our minds, Lord, get rid of it today so that we can step out of here and be your Holy Spirit-empowered witnesses. Speak to us today, God. We are your servants and we are listening. Amen. So Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit. It's about power. Pentecost is about language and witness. Pentecost is about transformation and mission, all very powerful words, but we cannot understand Pentecost or the Holy Spirit or power or transformation or mission until we understand the words of Jesus that he spoke to his disciples that readied them for Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" You see, a powerful idea held the disciples' minds captive. It's the, "Lord, when will you make Israel great again?" idea. Make Israel great. You see, they wanted a Messiah that would come in and wipe out their enemies and raise them and their people up to power. "We want power for me and my people. When are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" You see, they wanted a civil religion that made the nation more just and good. They wanted a faith that makes the world a better place without us having to become better people. Wouldn't that be a nice trick? And I think we know a thing or two about powerful ideas that colonize the minds of believers and cause us to cast blame, to scapegoat, to look for messiahs who will come in and make us great again at the expense of our perceived enemies. We want the kingdom of God without us personally feeling the pinch. That's the project of liberal and conservative Christendom. And Jesus is having none of it. Jesus won't let us scapegoat and cast blame on others for the problems that face us every day. Jesus won't let these disciples co-opt the gospel for some worldly political project. Jesus knows that to make a different world, you got to create a different sort of people. The people Jesus aims to create are Holy Spirit-filled witnesses who receive power and push out into hostile territory armed with nothing more than a prayer and the Word of God. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has sent before you, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit descends. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the outermost parts of the world, Jesus says. That's what gets them ready for Pentecost. Jesus aims to create Holy Spirit-filled witnesses who receive power and push out into hostile territory armed with nothing more than a prayer and the Word of God. That's you. That's me, brothers and sisters. You have been baptized with water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit. You have been baptized with water and the Spirit to resist the spiritual forces of wickedness, oppression, and injustice in whatever form they present themselves. To raise up and train and nurture children and the youth of the church for the mission of God. Those were our baptismal vows. Water and the Spirit. You see, you've received Holy Spirit power to be Jesus' witnesses. We just sung about it. I'll be a witness for my Lord. I'll be a witness for my Lord. That is the response to a deep question. Who will be a witness for my Lord? Who will be a witness for my Lord? A witness. We know what that is. A witness is someone who tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Right? But as Christians, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, because Jesus became flesh and lived and took up space, we Christians believe that truth is not just something you believe, it's not just something you know, but the truth has to become flesh. That the truth is something that gets a hold of you and you do it. Christians don't just believe truth, we do truth. And in so doing, we find freedom because the truth will set you free. Being Jesus' witness, though, is more than we can do. left to our own devices, it's more than we can do. Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. A power greater than ourselves must come in and help us. And they were all together in one place, and suddenly from the heavens there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind. And all were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke as the Spirit gave them ability. You see, that's what was going on at your baptism. You didn't see it, but there was a rush of a mighty wind, a flame on your shoulder, on the shoulder of that infant you held. If only we had the eyes of faith to see it. Isaiah chapter 55, God tells us through the prophet that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. That's Pentecost. Getting us involved, getting involved with the God of Israel gets us thinking higher thoughts. It leads us on a higher, greater path. I mean, honestly, is it so hard to believe, church, that there is a higher way of thinking, a greater way of living than what we are currently doing right now? Is it so hard to believe that there is a power, capital P, out there that loves us, that cares for us, and that wants to elevate us to a higher pitch of existence? Is it so hard to believe that God desires a people to live and to tell and to witness that death didn't win, that might isn't right, that there's an alternative out there to all the hating and all the backbiting and all the blaming and all the violence and all the division in the world? Is it so hard to believe that you are that witness? Who will be a witness for my Lord? Who will be a witness for my Lord? You see, I told you Pentecost is about power, the power of the Holy Spirit. But church, there's another power out there. A power that more than anything wants to keep us cooped up and hiding in our sanctuaries. You see, that's where the disciples were before the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them. They were gathered in one place, the Bible tells us. John will say that they were behind locked doors. Acts chapter 1, verse 15 says there were 120 believers holed up in that door, in that room. Locked. Why the locked doors? In a word, fear. You see, another power holds a grip on the church then and now. In the Old Testament lesson today, we got just a glimpse of that power. Ecclesiastes, what has been is what will be. What has been done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. That's the power of the past. The power of the past locking us in place. What has been is what will be done. What has been done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. Orwell's classic paranoid novel, 1984, says it this way: who controls the present controls the past. Who controls the past controls the future. If you're not familiar with Orwell, maybe you remember Rage Against the Machine's song, Testify. They use the same quote. It's about the power of the past to shape the present and the future. The past. The pains, all the wounds, the guilt, the regret, the shame of it all, it freezes us in fear. It locks us in, and it holds us fast. The past is still the best predictor of the future. I believe that. Unless, and this is key, the past is the best predictor of the future unless the God revealed in Jesus Christ gets involved with you. You see, it seemed that God remained distant until Jesus and the Word became flesh and God was near. It seemed that death always won until Jesus leapt from a tomb. Caesar was always Lord until Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. And there were brave Christians in Roman arenas and in Roman prisons, and they stood up and they said, "Oh no, Jesus is Lord." And the church locked herself behind closed doors until the Son of God breathed out the Holy Spirit on a cowering church. And then, all bets are off. The past loses its power. No one says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, Paul says. You see, the past is the best predictor of the future until Jesus gets involved. Peter bears witness to that, doesn't he? You remember Peter's history. Peter, he'd fallen on his face time and time and time again. Peter cowered before a little slave girl in the garden, denying Jesus three times. Peter, the fisherman, though, he receives the Holy Spirit and the past loses its grip. All the shame, all the regret, all the rejection, the feelings of inadequacy, they lose power over Peter, washed away in Holy Spirit power, and he becomes a preacher. He becomes a leader. He becomes a witness in Jerusalem, the central locus of power in the ancient world. Peter stands bravely against the same religious powers that had just crucified Jesus only 50 days before, and he proclaims, "Thus says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy, visions for young men, dreams for old men. The enslaved and the oppressed, they go free as God's prophets. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Look at the people in that scripture that the Spirit is empowering. Old men, young men, daughters, slaves, the oppressed. The Spirit is empowering those whom power and voice have been denied for so long. Do you see that? The old and the young, the daughters and the oppressed. It wasn't so long ago that we had a mass shooting in Las Vegas. It was an old man. An old man convinced that the world had left him behind, that he had no power. Well, he showed the world his power in the most wicked sort of way. This week, another young man shot up a school. White nationalism, Antifa, is on the rise. ISIS spreads ideology to the youth of the world. We should not fear these fools. But notice that they are listening to the voiceless and they are giving them a voice. They supply a toxic and sinful story for people whom the church and the world have ignored. Angry young men and women, our daughters, cry out to be heard. People of color, immigrants, and refugees. All of these disempowered people begging for those in power to see them, to hear their voice. You see, what's going on at Pentecost is God's answer to all of these voices who have been silenced and who are looking for power. Peter describes Pentecost using the prophet Joel. It's voice for the voiceless, power for the powerless. But it's not enough just to let the voiceless talk. We must also give them something to say. And so God puts a vision in their mind, dreams in their heart, words in their mouth. For us Christians, the voiceless must be given something to see, something to dream, something to say, something like, "All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Something like, "Let the world know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." That's God's voice for the voiceless. Do you see the transformation, the switch that has been flipped here? Do you see the power of the Holy Spirit overwhelming the power of the past? The past may indeed hold you captive today, but it doesn't have to. The Bible tells us that there were over 120 believers inside that room. And I imagine that some of those 120 were some of the people that Jesus met while he was out about the streets doing his mission and his ministry. I like to imagine that. Imagine that with me, church, some of the people whom Jesus met, and that just like Peter, their past lost its power over them. And they step out boldly as God's witness. Do you remember the woman at the well? Do you remember her? She had a lot of men in her life. She was with one that wasn't her husband at the time. She was called a lot of names in her day. Our modern equivalent would have been slut. Used and abused her whole life. Shame is the story of this woman's past. And she's so tired of drinking that dirty water in the heat of the day just to avoid the morning gossips at the well. And so Jesus gives her living water. The Spirit pours out. It's Pentecost. Witness, daughter, witness. There's Zacchaeus. A wee little man was he. You remember Zacchaeus? Bullied and ridiculed his whole life long, denied power. He found it the only way he could, being a tax collector. And more ridicule and more bullying were the future for Zacchaeus. Until Jesus said, "Get out of that tree, Zacchaeus. Tonight you eat with me." The Spirit pours out. Witness, young man, witness. You remember the woman with the bleeding problem, isolated from community. Even her family can't have anything to do with her. She's perpetually unclean for 18 years living in isolation. The past's power ensures that she's nobody's daughter, that she will die alone someday until Jesus gets involved. Daughter, your faith has made you well, and the Spirit pours out. Witness, daughter, witness. And there's old Nicodemus. For fear of being rejected by his religious friends, Nicodemus comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness. Nicodemus can't understand how somebody might be born again. The old man's past, it's going to keep him seeking the approval of people who don't even matter and hiding his faith. But it's Pentecost. The Spirit pours out. Step into the light and witness, old man, witness. There's Mary, Martha's sister. She knows the role of a dutiful woman in the house. The past hour, it ensures only more cleaning, only more cooking for Mary. But Jesus is in the room, and she sits at the Master's feet, and she listens, and she learns in a world where only boys were allowed to learn. The Spirit pours out, the past power washed away. Witness, woman, witness. And so here we are, all cooped up in a room. We know the past power. I know my past filled with drugs and failure, rejection, defeat, shame, and blame. But I also know Jesus, and I do not accept that the past has power over me. Here we sit. And you got old wounds, loved ones lost, great efforts that just didn't pan out. The past will keep you seeking the approval of people who don't matter while you hide your faith. People that should have loved you, they rejected you and neglected you. It may have been the church that hurt you and rejected you. Some of you in here have been abused, others neglected. All of us in here have absorbed pain and inflicted pain. You carry regret and guilt and shame. And brick by brick by brick by God-awful brick, the past has built you a nice little prison. But it's Pentecost. Spirit poured out on all flesh. You know the call that is on your life right now to be a witness. There's visions in your mind. There's dreams in your heart. There's words on your lips. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You will receive power when the Spirit descends, and you will be my witnesses. So how long, church, will you keep rejecting your place among God's saints? Because those fools who rejected you. How long will you keep being defeated by the same old habit, the same old emotion? How long will we let fear keep God's good gospel cooped up behind walls? You see, brothers and sisters, it's Pentecost. The past's power, it's great, but it's no match for Holy Spirit power. The world is waiting. People are dying, literally dying to see an alternative to the toxic public discourse of today, an alternative to the indifference seething through our country, an alternative to the violence and the shame and the blame, an alternative to a church corrupted by liberal and political and conservative ideologies. Jesus is the alternative, and we are His Holy Spirit-empowered witnesses sent into hostile territory, armed with nothing more than a prayer and the Word of God. And it's enough. Half measures avail us nothing. The day for playing church and playing at church is over. We stand at a turning point where we must leap or remain cooped up, destined to repeat the same old defeats. But it's Pentecost. The Spirit pours out. Flames rest on each of your shoulders. I see them now. A holy wind stirs something in your spirit, and a question sings out, who will be a witness for my Lord? Who will be a witness for my Lord? Amen. We'll see. Amen.